So I wanted to, look, I know that some of these sugars seem maybe a bit abstruse. So I figured we spend a day or two on some of the applications of this notion of Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah. So we saw on Yud Aleph and Beis and Yud Beis and Aleph that we take Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah very, very, very seriously. So what I gave you on these sheets are three possible halachot that we derive from, that we may derive from this principle. We may not. And that is davening, the prohibition of davening behind your Rebbe, the prohibition of davening by a mirror, and at the end, the prohibition, we'll see, halacha nechal shechita, but we'll start with the halachas brachos ones, okay? But I just want you to understand, that the reason I put it is, first of all, it fills out the picture a little bit, right? Because I want you to understand that this notion of us being sensitive to what might look like Avodah Zarah, it really does have manifestations in all types of halachot, which makes sense, because if you read through Chumash and Tanakh, one of, if not the greatest sin, is Avodah Zarah, over and over and over and over and over and over again, right? We sort of beat that to death. Okay, so the first halacha. So Gemara in Brachos Chav Zayin Men Alf Throb and Beis Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav L'Olam Al Yispalel Adam Lo Keneged Rabo V'Lo Achore Rabo. You should not daven neither in front nor opposite nor behind your Rebbe. V'Tani Realize Amar Yispalel Achore Rabo Nesin Shalom Lo Rabo V'Machzir Shalom Lo Rabo. And Realize said that one who davens behind his Rebbe or greets his Rebbe, probably the way Rashi takes it is greets him normally, right? He says, hi, what's right? Up, shalom Rebbe, instead of shalom alecha Rebbe umari.
Well, darn.
I might call you, it's okay. I don't need the, it bothers me very much when I get the honorifics. You know, I'm telling you, when I first moved to Toronto, I started getting emails, so they're very, very formal. Kvod harav. I'm like, Kvod harav? Who are you? Pray tell, who are you talking to? Yeah. V'acholik al yeshivaso shel rabbo, and one who argues on standing this whatever yeshiva of his rebbe, v'amar davar shelo shama mipi rabbo garm l'shchina shetistalek mi Yisrael. And someone who says something not that he didn't hear from his rebbe, again, I'm not going to get into all these different things, he causes the shchina to leave Yisrael. Okay, so if I asked you, and you can say it from the Rishonim, why is it prohibited to daven behind your Rebbe? On context, what would you say?
It would be Maris
Ayin. In context, if you didn't know I was giving this in context of Maris Ayin, what would you have said?
Problem context causes when you bow down and look at your daven.
So that's one possibility. What would you say about the broader context? Right. I mean, what else? Right, it's being said.
Yeah.
Right, the context of things that are disrespectful. So, who argues along those two lines? Who takes those two different positions?
Rashi and
Tosfos. Right, hint, hint. Right, number two, I gave you Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Peirush Rashi Mishum Yuara." Rashi says that the problem here is presumptuousness, is arrogance, which makes sense from context. Right, you can't daven behind him, you can't daven in front of him, you can't daven next to him, because it makes you look like you are his equal. Right.
Tosfos. One said it's haughtiness.
No, he quotes Rashi. My pair is Rashi. I just gave you Tosfos. He quotes both. No, you shouldn't daven. Right? I mean, you should daven away. Right? Give him his space. Right? You don't daven in front of him. You don't daven right next to him. Right behind him. Give him his space. You're not his equal. Right? That's the logic. And that makes sense in context. That's why you shouldn't greet him normally. Right? You don't just say, "Hey, how you doing?" Right? You say, "Hey, how are you doing, my teacher and master?"
Like
Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umari.
I mean, how is the Rebbe?
Exactly, in formal third person. If you ever do that, I'll kill you. I'm just saying, I hate it. I hate it.
The argument doesn't for Rav Chaim Ozer.
It's a different story.
It's different.
Yeah.
There's also, it's not necessarily because it's Rosh Hashiva.
It's also, he's like,
everyone would have done it to Rav Chaim Ozer, even if Rav Chaim Ozer was just another Rebbe. Because Rav Chaim Ozer's at that level.
Wow, he has a kiddusha.
No, he's also, look, he's a, he's
even more, like,
you know, he's like, you know, there's a two or three generational gap, you know, generation gap here. You know, he's from the Alterheim, you know.
How many rabbis did he have? Like, I hear Chaim Kanievsky. Right?
Chaim Kanievsky?
No, it's not.
He was a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein.
That one. It was Moshe Feinstein.
Step grandfather was Kanievsky.
There you go. Anyways, so that's Rashi. The Yesh Mefarish and Yerikim Mishtacha Vela Rabbo. And Tosos thinks the problem is.
Bowing to your Rebbe.
Right?
Which doesn't work on a lot of things. Reasons.
It definitely doesn't work for the other things in the context.
Right.
Correct. Now.
Literally works for just davening. Right.
Correct. Now, what would be. Give me a nafkamina. Possible nafkamina between them.
Can you
define nafkamina again? Nafkamina is halach complicated. What would be a difference, right, of these two reasons?
What's the difference?
Meaning, if it's right, could be permission, right? If someone, if it's an issue of kavod, the rebbe could be mochel and say, I don't care, dom next to me, big deal. But if it's nirik mishtachave, right?
Then
regardless.
Correct. Right? What about if it's not your rebbe? What if it's somebody else? Davening immediately behind somebody else.
Tosfos still have an issue.
So according to Tosfos, maybe. Right, you could say, well, it looks like you're bowing to Shimon, right? And then someone else would say, well, maybe no one would look at it and say, oh, he's bowing, no offense, right? That he's bowing to Shimon, right?
What's different? Because he just quoted Rashi.
He quotes Rashi and disagrees.
And his interpretation is that...
It looks like you're bowing.
Oh, so Tosfos the one who says Marasai.
Right, exactly. Right. Rashi's the one who, right, Rashi says it's just an honor thing, and Tosfos introduces this Marasai and Avodah Zarah thing. And again, one nafkamina might be, right, Mechila. Right, if the Rebbe says, I don't care. So if it's about honor, you've solved your problem.
Right.
But if it's about... It looks like Avodah Zarah. The Rebbe can't say, no, it's okay. Right?
Please do Avodah Zarah.
Right? Please do something like that. It doesn't work. It also might depend on who it is. Right? If it's the average person, right, not your Rebbe, so Vaday for Rashi, it's fine. According to Tosfos, Yesh Ladon. On the one hand, you might say you really shouldn't be standing right behind somebody and bowing to them because it looks like you're worshiping them. If you touch any, you can say no. If it's just the average person, no one's going to look and say you're worshiping.
Why does that make sense? Like, you're only dominating Tefillah, so people know you're dominating Hashem. How would they mistake that you're dominating?
Really? What do you mean?
What happens if you came late to Shacharis, Chas v'Shalom, you never do, so that's why I'm using you as an example, so it's not Lashon Hara or anything. So let's say Chas v'Shalom, for whatever, you come late to Shacharis, and you're davening over here, right? You're not Shacharis, so say you came late to Mincha, that way there's no tefillin, so we don't know what you're doing. You're just standing here kind of shuckling back and forth.
Right.
And then one of the latecomers sees, oh, look, it seems like Nachum's making a breakaway minion, so he starts davening right behind you, right? So now we just see two people kind of just standing, doing their usual spacey look, and all of a sudden, bam,
look,
the one behind you decides he's doing his spacey, usual Shmona Esrei look, and then bows.
Let me give you a theoretical. I'm not going to name names here, especially since I'm on recording. I'm not going to name names. But let's say Chaim Moser was davening Mincha here, and there was a certain person in his shir who loves him very much, who is davening immediately behind him, right, during Mincha. I'm saying, like, someone might look at that and have a hava mita for a second. I know he's davening Mincha, but you know.
Must have not been at the Mincha when this happened.
No. Let's say he's just davening here. Someone davens right behind him. Oh. Somebody who remain nameless.
Right.
Davens right behind him.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of course.
Right? Oh, right? I'm saying, like, someone might look and say, look, she's probably davening in Mincha.
No, even I would look at that and I would say, like, Maybe there's a little bit other type of kavana going on during this mincha.
I mean, that's what it's saying, because it's saying, like, very devoted talmidim, yes, you know it's mincha, but you look and you're like, you know, yechol yot, you know?
That's true, it happens all the time.
I'm saying it happens. Look, avada in certain cultures. No, I think without being cynical about it, right? The fact is that yes, in a Hasidish community, right, where there's a personality, right, personality focused, right? If someone was dominating right behind the Rebbe. Again, the guy's probably not davening to the Rebbe. He's probably not davening to the Rebbe.
If you were to ask him after davening, he wouldn't say, yo, yeah, I was
right, he wouldn't say, I'm davening to the Rebbe. Right. But if an outsider came, right, it's a Marzayan question, right?
It happens all the time. Like, if you ever listen to the way we talk about Hasidim, we always say, oh, yeah, they're doing a Avodah Zarah. Which they're not. If you ever go and ask a single one of them, they will all tell you they're davening to Hashem.
But like, let's take definitely an outsider. Let's take a secular journalist who's doing a report on Sadmar Hasidim, right? And they went to a mincha. Right, and they saw someone standing right behind the Rebbe bowing. Right, they could mistake it.
Right,
because what are they going to do? They're going to go before, and they're going to see them eating shirayim. Right, right. Oh, right? Someone might mistake it. Again, right. I'm not. Again, this isn't an Avodah Zarah claim. It's a Maris Ayin Avodah Zarah claim.
Right. There just needs to be some room for someone. To
right. It needs to be that someone would look at it and mistakenly say. Right. That's what I'm saying. Is like because so that's what that's what Tosfos is saying. Now again, according to Tosfos, on the one hand, you might say, okay, well, if it's Maris Ayin, maybe it's true of everybody, even not a Rav.
Right.
Right? You shouldn't be davening right behind people. On the other hand, you could say, no, the Maris Ayin is created only when the person that you're davening behind has a gravitas, that you look at them and like people say, oh, like, oh, good, a Chassidish Rav is a good example. Right? Like, look, if 100 people are safuf in a tiny little room and they're davening, probably people say, look, they're all 1 foot behind the other. They're not bowing to each other. They're all bowing straight.
Right.
Right. Right? But Dafka, if there was someone behind the Rebbe, right, Yesh Ladun. Right? Not, again, not that he's doing Avodah Zarah. That someone from the outside might look at it and say, that looks like Avodah Zarah. That's the problem. Okay. So I gave you the Beis Yosef in number 3. And Beis Yosef says, again, who's Beis Yosef?
Rabbi Yosef Cairo.
Good. Who's also the author of the Shulchan Aruch, right? That should be right. Good. He says, "Vamrin and Sham Begimara, the Rav Yehuda Tzali Acharei the Rav." The Gemara tells you later on that that Rav Yirmiya davened behind Rav, Vasvina and Midam Rav Yehuda Marav Ali Spala Adam Acharei Rabbo. So I didn't give you the whole discussion of the Gemara, but now I'm giving it to you in the Beis Yosef. So the Gemara says, wait a second, how could he daven behind him? You're not allowed to daven behind your Rebbe. Umishani, shiny Rebbe Yirmiyah, the Talmud Chaver Have. Right? He says he was a Talmud Chaver. Now that already tells you that, even though in theory, logically, right, I was cheating here. A Talmud Chaver is a Talmud who becomes an equal, becomes a colleague. Right? It's a middle state. Now again, I'm cheating, right? Because I told you a theoretical nafkamina is could you daven behind anybody? It's clear in the Gemara that yes, you can daven behind everybody, right? The Gemara is saying even a Talmud Chaver can, right?
But that
Talmud
Chaver is someone
who's equal. Talmud and equal, okay. He says, Umi umashmali dilespalo vachorev lirabo afilu Talmud Chaver namilo de bizer gadolhu.
Even if they're equal.
But he says, right, he says in a kabbalah love, no, he says, v'achorav lirabo, right?
Behind them.
No. Achorav lirabo is if you're in front of your Rebbe, right? Then if it's a question of kavod, what does the Beis Yosef say? The Beis Yosef said, look, if you hold like Rashi, that is about kavod.
Then if you're in front
so
of
then,
them,
so it's only a problem of, right, a Talmud davening right behind his Rebbe. That's a bit, right, that might be a kavod problem.
Right.
But even if you're an equal, almost an equal, right? To daven in front of, that's mamish bizayon.
Wait, so I thought achorav would be...
No, v'achorav lirabo, your back. His back is to his Rebbe.
Oh, achorav.
Right? So he says in a kavod, on a kavod level, look, it might be, why is it a kavod problem to daven behind your Rebbe? You'd think it's a kavod to daven behind your Rebbe. The answer is no, like, you have to give him his space.
Right.
So that's the Yesh Lodur. But daven in front of him, that's mamish, like... Right, you go to the front of the base medrash in front of Rabbi Chait, right? Right, to down behind him, you're crowding him out. Maybe it's a lack of kavod.
Right.
To go in front of him, right?
Yeah, that's
like
pretty messed up.
Right, so he says that's already.
That's why a lot of I don't know if that's why, but a lot of
Chassidish shul in front. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
it's not just
a separate room.
Separate room, but I'm saying this is standard in yeshivas.
Right.
Okay. The cause of Rabbeinu.
Nachum knows because he heard it from someone.
No.
He went to Nisbeir. I knew that was coming. Because of Rabbeinu Agadol Ma'ari Abuav, and the Ma'ari Abuav, Marebi, the Ma'ari Abuav said, B'shem Baal HaMe'oros, the Ha Darmin Shal Yispalel Achorei Rabbo, Dafka K'shubi Yachid, Abol B'tzibur, Imkachu Sidur Yishivas, and Enkan Chshasha, Mekabal Ov Ke'eloa, what? Ah, so what does he say?
Yachid, meaning just the two of them in the room?
Ah, exactly. So Ma'ari Abuav gives an interesting svar, he said, wait a second, if it's Maris Ayin, right, so what does Maris Ayin depend on? Perception.
Right.
So if you're
that doesn't work though.
1 second. So his argument is that what? He says, look, if you're in shul,
yeah,
right? Let's say you're in shul. There's 100 people in the room, right? Everyone's squished together.
Right.
And then one person happens to be squished behind the rabbi.
Right.
So who's gonna look at this and say it's Avodah Zarah?
Nobody,
because in Ochanami, one person is bowing right behind the Rav, but there's somebody bowing behind him, you look at it, you understand.
Right.
You're squished into the tiny little shtibo,
right?
Right? But if there's only two people in the room,
Right.
Right? Davening Bechidus, Rabbi Chait, and student told name nameless. 3 feet behind him. Right? Someone looks at it and is like,
That might be a little loud.
Yeah, Shlodin. So that's what Maria Buam says. Right? But again, what's his Svara? He's basing it on, Kulo on, Maris Ayin. And therefore he says, in Maris Ayin, what always has to be taken into account? Context, right? In a word, context, right? Meaning, does this actually befoel create a misimpression, right? And he says, "V'chein gazibol moed v'siim ba l'mishem afarshach harei rabba l'shiv shemitzaro." And then he gives there's a third explanation in Rishonim, which is
this one goes just a completely different direction.
Right? This is a third direction, which is you know what's the problem?
You're gonna be annoying to your rebbe when he tries to take his 3 steps.
So he jumps back, right? Because you can't. You're not allowed to walk in front of You're not allowed to walk in front of someone who's davening Shemoneh Esrei,
right?
Who's davening, right? Shemoneh Esrei or anything similar, right? There are tshuvot that say that this might even be true of walking in front of a Muslim because we recognize that they're monotheists, so their tefillah is a kiyum. So right, so certain posts come, so you can't even walk. I think it's your tzitzit. Pesach Franco says this.
Bowing down on their carpet.
Yeah, no, saying you can't even maybe can't even walk on that, but whatever. And he says, so what's going to happen? The Rebbe is going to be finished davening, and his Talmud with so much kavana is still davening behind him, and the Rebbe sits there twiddling his thumbs, waiting for the Talmud behind him.
That happens here all the time.
Exactly. And he says, look, the average person, you want to drive them nuts, right? And you want to make it they can't walk back, fine, we don't care about the rest of you, right? But your Rebbe, have a little bit of consideration, and don't do it. He said, if that's the case, there's no difference in shul or not shul. But the Beis Yosef says la halacha, he thinks that you should be choshesh even in a shul. So we have three explanations. Kavod, it's not nice to make it that your Rebbe can't take 3 steps back,
right?
Or is nira kavod dezara. One possible nafkamina is someone who's not your Rebbe, though the Gemara rejects that, right? Which makes sense,
right?
Right. One possible, another nafkamina he said might be mechila. Right, so if it's the first or third explanation, presumably
it's fine.
If it's near kavod dezara, not
right.
Possible nafkamina that Maria Buov says is tzibur yachid, right? That if it's two people in a room and one is bowing behind the other, it looks weird.
Right.
If everyone's squished into the shtibol, everyone understands. Or I mean, okay. Now another nafkamina might be how far behind you have to go. Right, how far behind you have to go to solve the problem. So, if it's about taking 3 steps back, how far do you have to go?
Four amos,
because once you're out of the four amos, you're allowed to walk back.
Right?
Wait, if it's about crowding the Rebbe...
Does that make sense? Because if you're more than four amos away, like let's say you're four amos away, when the Rebbe takes 4 steps back...
Let's say a little bit more. Fine, we'll say a little bit more. But whatever. If it's about kavod, what do you think?
Then you shouldn't do
it. Probably also four amos is fine, right?
It's like brought down in Arfa Shofan.
Correct.
Right?
But if it's Marazayin Yishladun, right? 4 feet, 5 feet, right? If they're directly one behind the other...
Well, if it's out of respect... Well, right.
Yes.
Right? So the Taz... So the Taz says what? Sorry, who's the Taz?
David Levy Siegel.
Hey!
Figured I would write them down before she.
Yay! So the Taz, David Levy Siegel, says, Sham Nizbar Derach Karbamas Mola Filum Rabba Lachorav. So he says, four amos solves it, even if your Rabbi is behind you.
Right?
The local Moshe calls the Beis Yosef gone. The Beis Yosef doesn't like that. Okay. The Rosh HaShulchan, who is?
Rechiel Nichol Epstein.
Good. There you go. He lived in the...
1550? No. Jeez, that's wrong. Is that right?
He died in the 20th century.
So no, not then.
He's the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah, that's a different one then.
Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan died not so long ago. Less than 100 years ago.
So when did maybe a little now.
Taz died about 400 some odd years ago, yeah.
So about 15 something.
Something at 4, yeah, something.
Okay, that stands for reason. I knew I saw the date.
Yes. So the Aruch HaShulchan.
1890, right?
Right. La'olam al yisbal adam lo betzad rabo, shezinir ki ilo hu shaveh l'rabo. Right? Don't daven next to your Rebbe, because then you're making as if you're his equal. Lo'ochei rabo, shegam ze mechzi ki yuara. And don't daven right behind him, because it's also, you know, you're crowding his space, it's arrogance. V'od, furthermore, dinir ki ilo mishtachav l'rabo. Right? Quote, both rabbis. Rashi and tells us, and it looks like you're bowing. Below lifnei rabbo, and don't daven in front of your rabbi. Dizeu vaday bizayon shemagzer achor of the rabbo, right? Because you're exactly. Eliyar chikmen arba amos, right? Distance yourself for amos. Dizeu kirushos acheres, because then you're in another space. Then even in front of him it'd be mutter. This is exactly what Nachum said. But some people say that if you're davening behind him, if it's about the three steps, it's not four amos, it's four amos plus three steps. Right? That's the prima goddim. Mishum di yeshom ramatam de lachorav. Aser kadeshul yitzdar up. Right? You see, the nafkaminas are pretty smooth here, right? If it's about taking three steps back, yes, it's four almost plus three steps. Fine. Kadeshul yitzdar up. 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 Right? The problem is that you're worried that he's not going to be able to walk back. So therefore, it's four almost plus three steps. Kadeshul yitzdar up. As far as the reason, Yerushalmi yitzdar up. Kadeshul yitzdar up. And then he clarifies, "V'chol zehu b'rabo muvok." This is only your what's rabo muvok?
Your rabbi is the one who taught you.
Your main rabbi, oh Godol Hador, right? Or
great rabbi,
the Godol Hador, yeah. The dino ki rabo muvok was the halachic status of your rabbi. Kamash goes be your dasim and reishman bet. Abu b'rabo sheinam muvok, but you know somebody else is not your main rabbi. Oh Talmud Chav there, or a colleague who's a used to be student now colleague. Mutterli hispalel bitzido. So then you can daven next to him. Vilafanov lo achrav. Right? And even in front of him or in back of him. The Yeshomrim, the Magen Avraham says, Osrim Lefanov. What? The Yeshomrim Lefanov. Right? The Magen Avraham says, no. Even if it's a Talmud Chaver, right? Again, the Beis Yosef already quotes this. Even if it's a Talmud Chaver, you're sort of a colleague, but you did at some point learn from him.
Right.
In front of him, that's a Bizayon Gadol. But that's already. But that's already a bizayon. V'chein ikur. And he says, that's what I think the halacha is. V'zeu bizayon tfei. That's really embarrassing.
Tfei is like a lot.
Yeah, more. Right, more. Because of Rabbeinu Ramah, b'sif chavdal di yisham l'cholzeh lo mayri elu l'nispal b'yachid. Some say this is only in private. Avol b'tzibor im kachu seh der shivasan. But if that's the way you said, ain l'chosh m'ispal l'fun of l'achrov. V'afal pishet dov l'hachmer minog l'hokal akan l'shon. He says, even though it's better to be machmer, the minog is to be mekil. V'nachum l'hachmer l'maisa. But the Aruch HaSholchan says, they don't agree with the Ramah, you should be machmer. V'albima mutter. Okay, fine.
What's v'albima?
On the bima.
Oh, like, actually.
I'll just pause. If you have follow-up questions, let me know.
Are they from Canada?
What?
Are they from Canada?
No. Tavi and I were in YU together.
Oh, nice. That's a very deep voice.
Yes. Yes, he does. Okay. Mishnah Brura.
Ooh.
Six, right, says Bitzad Rabo, Kihu Yuara, Shemaru Shushavala Rabo, Virabo, Hainushrachwa. So Amenu, Godul Hador. Right, says he thinks it's a problem of Yuara. And therefore it's either your Rebbe or the Godul Hador. The Khalibachayotam nearly do it in Aviv. He says for the same logic, this applies not just to your Rebbe, but to your father.
Right.
Your father, right? Velola chare rabo de mechzi namik yura v'yisham yishmish rachel rabo b'tfilaso v'yisham yishmish the mitzar the rabo the shema yitzarech v'soa shalos pila chare bo chum ispal yitzarech lahamtin alav. Right. So Mishnah Berurah in the end of the day quotes all three reasons.
Right.
Honor, yuara, and the three steps back. Velola funav and not in front of him. Bekav achomer dezevadai hu bizayon the rabo shomed bachorav negdo. Okay, fine. I'll give you one last source from Piskei Tshuvos. Said lo yispal b'tzad rabba v'lo chora v'lo fana v'ramah v'lo b'tzibur im kach seidu shivas in l'achuz. Right, the Ramah says in the tzibur it's fine. Ach mikol makom. But he says, but if the problem is maris ayin, so you'll tell me, wait a second, does it really solve the problem b'tzibur?
Yeah.
Right? So he says,
why not?
So maybe, but he gives a suggestion. And he says, fine, but to be mishtachavet when you're actually bowing, but baruch hu modim shmona esrei, yate litzdadim shalom mishtachavet l'rabba. Why don't you turn a little bit, right? Meaning, even if you're behind him, Yosef, right? So the Piskei Tshuva says even if you're davening behind your rebbe, and even if you think you can solve it, when you're actually doing the bowing, which is the most maris ayin-y of the probit, right, moment when you're actually bowing. So he says it's good to
turn a little bit.
And he says, and therefore, if you're stuck, right, you're in that squished shtibul, you have no choice. Everybody's, right, at least solve the Marasayan problem, right, and turn when you bow.
Right.
Okay? Because that's one, right? So that's Isra one. Again, the nafkaminas are very clear here, but what I wanted to show you is that.
Try not to dominate behind your Rebbe, and if you do, just.
But the point is, right, what's the concern that permeates the sugya, or at least one of them, is this notion that we really, really, really. Right, again, I did this to show you how these concerns
really
of Mar Zion, of Avodah Zarah especially, where we're so machbid. About Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah. So that's what I... Right, so that's issue one.
Wait, but... it has to do with this kind of... Like, in a place where bowing is a sign of respect...
Yeah.
Would that be different? Because it doesn't look like Avodah Zarah.
You're correct. Or, correct, that'd be fine. Because everyone understands. Right, there's even a deal which I didn't get into, which really we could have. It's part of our sugya, but I didn't get into. The Ramah is a whole deal. Are you allowed to bow to a priest who's wearing a cross? Right? Right, because he says, right, on the one hand, you're not bowing to the cross, but it looks like you're bowing to the cross. You're bowing out of respect.
Well, people know you're bowing out of respect.
Right, so this is a deal. The Ramah from the Chumash Hadeshet. Right? I mean, technically. Right?
I mean, we see from the perm, Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman because his shirt.
Which appears not in the Pesukim, right? But yes, the Midrashim do bring that up. But I would like you to at least know that it's a Midrashim, not Pshat.
Right.
I heard something that, during Kusrat the Shats, if you have, a president who's watching, you're allowed to interrupt the same event. I don't know which opinion that was who said it.
What does that have to do with this?
No, because you're saying how
talking about whether a bow out of honor automatically looks like a vajzara. So, like I said, there's this diyun in the Chumash Hadeshet, which Rambam quotes. Which Shulchan Aruch is there? No, Archaim. If you want to do me a favor, get me a Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya Simen. It's I think it's Kufnun. How would that be expressed a lot? Was it a degradation? Of my desk, if no one's talking about same chelek. Oh, you know what? Shimon, it's okay. I have my computer here, so I can. Right, but you're right. Meaning, it seems to be that the issue at hand isn't the bowing per se, it's the bowing in the context of prayer, right, that looks particularly egregious, right? You know, if you're in Naniach, what's it called? Let's say you are in Japan, mm-hmm. Right? So, everybody understands that's the way you greet.
Right.
Right? Okay. So, the Ramah writes, again, I skipped it, but fine. This is on our sugya, literally. Right? So, Simen Kuf Nun, Sif Gimel, Shulchan Aruch, starts like this. Partsuvos amakalchos mayim bifnei, ovos kochavim. Right? Those fountains that give water in front of the idols. Leinich piv al piyam v'yishteh. Don't put your mouth on them and drink. Because it looks like you are kissing the idol. The Ramah says, "V'yishom the cholshen o'asrael b'fnei maras ayin kagon b'din zem yesh sakana b'davar kagon yomos l'yishdem mutalish chosvein b'zem v'yishom yiharik v'yavor." Some people say, "Remember, this was the Ran that if it's actually dangerous, you're actually dying, you're allowed to." But then the Ramah writes from the Chumash Hadeshet, "Sarim okoanim," right? Priests or government official? No. But it's on Nachum's point. Sheyesh lem tsurat avod chavim b'vigdehem. Right, who have an idol on their clothes. Or they have a son. So you can't bow to them unless you do it in a way that it doesn't look like you're bowing to them. Right? So either, throw your money on the floor, right? Or make sure not to bow when they come, right? Like, bow when they're not next to you. Like when a Rebbe comes in the room, you stand up, right, when he comes in the room, but not when he's right next to you. So, do a symbolic bow before they're actually close enough that it looks like you're bowing. Right. And take off your hat before they come. That's first day. V'yesh mekilin, and some people are mekil. Hol v'yadua shigama ovdem v'chomim in a masir makovim v'shachem v'chomim rak la'asar. And some say it's not Maris Ayin because everybody knows that they're not bowing to the cross, they're bowing to the priest out of a sign of respect. V'tov l'achmer k'svar harishon. He says, it's better to be machmer. Right, but you see, this is exactly what the Ramah is worried about, but even with idolaters.
Right.
He's saying, if a priest comes with a cross on his neck, right, and you bow, so he says, the first day it says it's asur because it looks like you're bowing. The other day it says, no, if the context makes it clear that it's that you're bowing out of respect, not out of respect to the idol.
Right, out of respect to the person.
So then it's mutter. So again, in our sugya, right, it's clear that what's the problem isn't just the bowing, right? You know, a sort of symbolic bow would be fine.
Right.
The problem is
In tefillah,
where you're in the middle of avoda, right? You're in the middle of worship. That's when it gets the Maris Ayin, correct? But pashtus is that if you are your rebbe is Japanese and the way that you bow,
difference either way, like.
No, because bowing is a way of respect.
Right,
you're allowed to bow in halacha.
During tefillah, if it's not, if they don't.
Correct, but no, but in tefillah.
During tefillah, then it's not.
No, but during tefillah, it looks. It's you're involved in worship. That's different, right? Meaning, everybody knows that you know you go to a king, you bow. You're allowed to bow to a king.
Right.
Right. But in tefillah, it's like, you know, the aura is one of worship, and now you're bowing, it looks wrong. Right? But again, ad kidei kach, the Ramah says it was a machlokes, right? Again, it's two days of the Shemus Hadeshin quotes.
Right.
As to, right, when you actually run into a priest who mamash has a avodah zarah on his neck, are you allowed to bow? The Shemus Hadeshin himself says, no, that mamash looks like a avodah zarah. But the re-op, Afnum and the Marivayel, quoted in the Shemus Hadeshin, says no. As long as the context makes it clear that you're bowing out of respect and not out of worship, it'd be fine. But again, that's what they're grappling with. The Ramah himself is Machmir.
Lechatchila. Meaning he's more lenient towards the.
No, Machmir. He's stringent. Right? He says it's better not to bow to the priest with the church.
You're lucky to do it for the Pope, if anything.
What? I
mean, you're lucky to do it even for the Pope, maybe, but even then you should do it like.
If anything, I would say the Pope is worse, right? The Pope really is.
Not even a Christianity wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, that really might be a bit more, right, interpreted as not just honor, but avodah zarah. So the Yesh Lodun. But yes, you're right, meaning, right, again. Like I said, this is an extension of our sugya. The question of bowing to the priest who has an avodah zarah on his neck, that's mamash our sugya. Mm-hmm. Right? That was our sugya itself. Okay. But that's one tefillah issue. The second one, which this doesn't appear in the Gemara, this appears for the first time in the Radbaz. Who's the Radbaz, Shimon? Okay. So it's Rav David ben Zimra. From where? From where? From when?
No idea.
He lives in Egypt. He is slightly before the Beis Yosef, right? He is born. Not Egypt. He's in Israel. I think he's in Egypt at some point, but he's 1479 born in Spain, and dies in Svat in 1573, right? Okay. So Radbaz introduces another one. So he was asked a very... the whole shoe is actually quite fun. You can just imagine this happening. It's Mechutz of Shein Kamoto. There was a big donor who gave a lot of money to the shul. Mm-hmm. And then the donor decided, you know, I really want people to remember this is my shul. So I'm going to put a statue of myself. A big statue, you know, like hanging in the shul, you know, like statue with my, I think it was an actual image of himself, like an emblem, like all types of things that he put in the shul, right, to make it clear that it was his. Yeah? So Radbaz says, that is disgusting. you know, and then the guy was like politically connected and like made it hard for them to take it down. It was a whole nightmare. So he says, "Od yesh ba inyana mechuara zechul Hashem gadol le'in kates mikamat tzadin utzidet tzadin." Right? He does not mince his words. Right? What does he say? This disgusting thing desecrates God's name to no end for many Many reasons.
He put his plaque over the door?
No, it wasn't a plaque. It wasn't just a plaque. I can read to you what it was. Let me open it. I'll open it up. It wasn't... I'll open up what it was. It was... There's a whole description. It's like a whole Ganze Meister.
I mean... Why is that? People write Zecher, like, dedicated by...
It was not a plaque! That wasn't the issue.
You just said
it was not a plaque. It was... I'll tell you what it was. Here. I'll open it up. It was... Okay. Masa haya bekandia. Beruven shesad beis hakneses. So he put on the limestone, right? He plastered the shul. Believe in us, we take on so yafe. Ratzo lichtov al gova eichel shmo v'shem avosav. So first he wanted to write his name and his father's names on the wall. Ulis atef ulis hadda betala shula. Fine. Velozu bilvad el shegava libo. But then he got more arrogant. He wanted to put his family flag right at the front of the shul. Hanikra arama bilaz. A big flag with a lion. Right, his family emblem, a lion with a crown. Velozu bilvad. El shiratzalaz golem mamish bolate. He wanted to make an image. Right, an image. Velagachlo Evan Shayish. He took marble. Vitzivetzam lazo pezel dmus arye mizuhav. Vekater malchus. Right. First, he wanted his family flag, and then he wanted a statue of his family symbol, a golden covered marble lion, which was his family symbol with a crown on it. These are the becheret vayamaz misader litno bitzamerit ahechol. Ubegovo kineged ha-mishtachavim. He wanted to put in shul, in the middle of shul, where everyone bows to. Right? That was what he wanted to do. Gam kosevel evin shayish ploni bin ploni ha-ga'on. And then he wrote on it his name, the genius. Right? Yaakov bin Reuven bin Yaakov, whatever, ha-ga'on. Okay? Va'akohol... The shul tried to stop him, but Reuven was connected to the government, so they had to end up having to bribe the government a fortune of money to not do this. Right? I mean, it wasn't just this wasn't a plaque. Right? This was a in your face, right? All sipur. Okay. So the Rabbah says this is a chilul Hashem. In Achinam. And he says, Mnisha Shara'isi Larav Rabbeinu Elya Kapshalai Neru. What's Neru, by the way? I've told you this before, but I don't expect you to remember. Natre Rachmana Uparke. Right? May God protect you and redeem you. Sheherech Budam Zebukundriso Katsardi Bavadana Misha. Odi Ishraya Mimasha Amruzal Asalam Shwalachai Rabbo. And he says, I have the problem. Because this is what the problem is. We say you can't daven behind your Rebbe. And I've heard the reason, like Tosvos, is that what's the problem?
That it
looks like you're bowing. I think it's in the Rishami, but I haven't had a chance to look. Since for this reason I say it is usher to daven in front of a mirror, because people might think that you're bowing to
yourself,
to your reflection. And he says, "V'im heims al chashashu l'chashasha rechoka kazu." And he says, if lahalacha we worry about such a far off thing,
yeah,
right. I mean, we've already said this is. Right? How much Marasayan actually is here? Like a little bit. Yeah. But he said, if we're choshish of that, because we're so afraid of Avodah Zarah or the perception of Avodah Zarah. He said, it's got to be worse to hang a big statue of a lion in the middle of the shul, especially since the lion is one of the four faces on the Merkava. Right? It's one of the angelic faces on Yechezkel's vision of God.
Right.
He said, Chazal are always worried about Maris Ayin. Okay? Now, there's a second reason why you might not want to have a mirror in Shul, which is?
People will be looking at themselves more.
or in a word, it is distracting. Yeah. It's distracting, right?
Yeah.
So it's a machlokes amongst the poskim whether even if we accept the Radbaz, do we accept it because of the Masa'ari and or because of distraction?
I mean, what's the difference? I mean, either.
Well, you'll see what the difference is. You'll see what the nafkamina is.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. Can you give me an afkamina? Give me an afkamina.
If it's covered, no.
So one of the big afkaminas people are going to bring up is...
If it's in the back of the shul.
Maybe in the back. What else? A post can say, what about something that's reflective, that's not a mirror? A very well-polished...
window.
A polished bowl that's on the sink.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see. The post can say, you go to Bell's, the big gold Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Right? So you can see a reflection, but like no one looks at it and says, oh, the guy's worshipping himself. Like it's like bimikret that you're right, reflection.
Right, but it's also, I mean, it's a distraction for another reason.
So the post can deal with it, right? Or how much?
But then by that, you could go by like a fancy chandelier.
But I'm saying like...
Those are all distractions.
You're right. Distraction is going to be more inclusive, and that's why I gave you a 9. Right? What's the biggest nafkamina? The best nafkamina? What's the best nafkamina?
From the glass window?
Nah, best nafkamina. Easy nafkamina. You close your eyes.
Oh.
If it's a problem of distraction, then it would be?
Kind of like
it'd be mutter. Your eyes are closed.
Right.
It is a problem of Marzine that it can look to the outsiders like you're bowing to yourself.
Yeah, but it's not your eyes are in constant.
Close your eyes, all Shema Esrei.
How are you going to read Shema Esrei?
By heart?
I mean, isn't it better to read
that's how they used to daven. They used to daven by heart.
I never. Besides, like, Yom Noraim and Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, I never use a Seder for Shema Esrei.
What, you'd rather not, even though you could?
No.
There's more kavana, usually, when your eyes are closed. And your eyes
look, I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying you want to dive in with a sitter.
There's more kavana, and you look at it, you still read it, you know it by heart.
For some people, not. This is not one of those things that's objectively true. Like, teach his own,
Depends on the person.
But the point is that if it's about distraction, you can solve it by closing your eyes. If it's a problem of perception by outsiders,
then it's still a problem.
Then you can't. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch writes, "Habigodim hamitziyorim alvishim baltos inachon lispal kenegda mimikra lo lispal kenegda begedo kol demetzur yalameino." He said, "Colorful clothing, even if they're not bolate, meaning they're not jutting out, they're not enough of a desire problem. You shouldn't daven in front of them, and if you have to, you should close your eyes, because what's the issue? Clearly,
Marza.
No."
No,
distraction.
I missed what you said.
Right?
Sorry.
He says you have a lot of colorful things in the shul. Right. So he says you shouldn't daven by big colorful clothing.
So
close your eyes, it'll be fine. The Ramah says, and therefore you shouldn't have pictures in your sitter because it's distracting. It also bothers me when there are pictures of people in the sitter because that really looks like they're davening to people.
Chabad.
Chabad. There are pictures of the Rebbe. A lot of them have pictures of the Rebbe in the beginning. Not all, but I'm saying there are. I have seen such sidurim, with the Rebbe waving. So he says, "Shalot is bata la kavana." Yes,
Lada. I mean, he wouldn't use a sitter anyway because he's not Chabad.
Right.
He saw the sidurim; he had his own.
Right.
It says, "Avol v'gadim shemetsuyar aleim divrei tiflos afil leishev aleim v'beisak." That's fine. Okay, we don't need to talk about that now. So it's clear that distraction is more wide. There are a lot of things we don't do in shuls because they're distracting.
Right.
But what about the davening to yourself? Is it the mirror? Is it about davening to yourself or distracting? So again, in the Radbaz, what is it?
It's about davening
to yourself. And therefore, the Elia Zuta writes in number 10, right? If you think that the mirror problem is a problem of Mara's Ayin, so then it's a problem even if you...
Close your eyes.
I'll skip the Prima God then. For now, go to number 12 to the Mishnah Bura. Says Sirim Mitzrayim Mechinir Lozim Tam Zeshul Itzar B'Kol Do Beitzeg Nes Sirim Neged Panav Shel Adam Alul Malam Im Komo. Ish, he said, if you want to put big paintings in shul, so where should you put it?
in the back.
Or high up, right, where people don't naturally look up. Also, it's balkaneg and amare de mechzik and mishtachel ve lebevoat shalom aino afin aim stumos the psuchos blavei ochem shum bittel kavana achronim. And he says, when it comes to the mirror,
what's the b based on the fish?
Belav hachi, right? Even without this, right? He says, right? If your eyes are open, obviously you can't daven in front of a mirror. But even if you close your eyes, it's the mar's eyes problem. It's aser. Okay. So now, I said one of the big questions the poskim ask is, okay, what about things that are reflective that aren't actually mirrors?
And that would be a problem of history.
So I gave you a summary here in 13, Piskei Tshuvos. He writes, L'spal neged zchuches shayish for mikah asher bevaoso mishtakef es sham. What if you just have glass, right, or marble, right, polished marble, or formica, or anything?
You have those glass doors that open up to.
They just reflect, right? So he says, "Asher lispal kenegin hamare, demechti gemishachave lebevoshlo." Right, you can't dive into a mirror. Behindu afbenayim stumos, even with your eyes closed. The betzuchos blavachazim mishum little kavana. With your eyes open, sure it's asher because of lack of kavana. Right? What about glass or marble or formica? Right? Formica in English is formica.
Sweet.
Formica, right? This is a modern Hebrew word. This is not like some biblical word. This is a modern sefer.
What does formica mean, though?
Formica is formica.
No, it's, like, what is formica?
It's formica. It's like one of the things, like my cabinets in my kitchen are made of formica.
Like the type of wood or whatever?
It's a type of material. Okay, yeah, okay. I don't know. Asher b'vosam mishtakevet b'hem im lo b'vehiras kamare. So he said, you have a reflection, but it's not like a mirror, right? Like it's whatever. V'nim. So he says, lechatchila me'anachem lo zesimas leiv shlo yud dvarim me'in elu ba'amud. Mashat, so we call them negin p'namas ba'amud. He said, lechatchila, avoid it. Right, don't put it in front of the davening, people who are davening. Amnam, for kayim, v'nim samutos ba'anegdam. Says, but if it's already there, it's mutter. Ach yakbid latzam einav amispal mitoch sidur yakbid alotzim einav mitzidur shetlefanav. But he says, if you're in that situation, so either close your eyes or look and keep your eyes in the sidur. Now, what's he telling you? What's the Piskei Tshuvos telling you? Why is he saying that?
To avoid distracting.
Because he said, look, on the level of distraction, who cares whether it's a mirror or a shiny piece of marble, right? Mm-hmm. Both of them might distract you if you get distracted by how good looking you are. Right, you look at it and you say, oh, I could be a model, right? I've never had that experience, but, you know, you're chaliyot.
You critique yourself like how,
No, but it could be like, oh, gevald, I missed a spot when I was shaving. Whatever, right? It could be lato, it could be lara.
I'm getting another shin. Why?
Yeah, whatever, you're chaliyot. So if it's about distraction, so solve it by closing your eyes. But he says, if it's about Mars Ayan, so what does he say?
It doesn't matter.
He says, it's not a Mars. No, but he says, what does he argue? There is no Mars Ayan. He said, look, it's one thing if it's a mirror, right? It looks like the Havana, you put your reflection in front of you to bow to it.
Right.
But right? Yesterday the cleaning person came and they shined the marble so much that it reflects. Nobody looks at it and says, oh, he found the shiny marble so that he could worship his quasi-reflection in the shiny marble. Like, nobody... If you're doing also, that, you're screwed up. You're momish.
I have my wall.
Way too into yourself.
Yeah.
The way to my backyard, when we face the east, we have these glass patio doors that open. So it could be the glass can sometimes be
reflected. Right, so that type of thing. No one's like, that's not what you're doing.
Also, not everyone likes.
And not everyone dominates east, Kamuvan, obviously. I don't dominate east.
Why not?
Because I live south of Yerushalayim, I dominate north.
Oh, I tell you,
as I push it, I dominate north.
So confusing in Israel.
Yes, because you have to daven towards Yerushalayim.
There was only one time we actually played west when we were davening as a
direction that's not directly east. You need to. You just kind of.
Correct. Correct. Angle. Correct. Yep. Okay, good. Now the Piskei Tshuvos continues and he says, "Ve'ein bevasam mishtakevet zarak tzilo nira ke'ein sel v'dmus diyokin paname nira ein shom chreshkal." He says, "For sure, there's no problem if like all you see is like a shadow of yourself." He said, "No one gets so. I mean, you got to be really into yourself that like you see the shadow of yourself and you're like you can't concentrate on davening. It's like, oh, my shadow. Well, from my shadow, I see I'm a model.
To be honest,
mommy, from my shadow,
it's not.
I see my six pack in the shadow.
No,
that's how much it worked out. No, it wouldn't work. It'd be, mommy, you'd have to be like.
Maybe sometimes with the shadow, like your fingers get longer, so you play with your fingers. Like,
okay, if that's what you're doing during diving, in a hanami, close your eyes.
No, that's not what I do.
No, but I'm saying if in a hanami is distracting you. Okay. Fine. I gave you here the Orchos Rabbeinu from now I gave you okay. I won't read it inside, but the stipler actually was a little bit worried about this, and he thought that if you have a thick glass window, right, and there is some sort of reflection without a curtain, so he thought you actually should be machmir. I gave you in 14 the Orlitzion. He says again that if it's just glass, even if your reflection is there, he didn't think you have to be machmir. Again, the Orchos Rabbeinu thought he should be machmir. Right, the stipler, the Orlitzion said, nah, if it's just your reflection, it happens to be, you see it, not a big deal. Like the Piskei Tshuva summarized it. Okay, go to 15. In the Shevet HaKahasi, that's Rav Shammai Gross. He's a modern posek. He writes, "V'reizi b'das Torah." The Hikshal said, "Darigamatzur nechveves kishu kofes is asno lechein mazgish lahaga b'shasatchak." The Das Torah doesn't like this whole svara. He says, "You know why? Because what does it look like? You're bowing to yourself. It doesn't look like you're bowing to yourself. You know why? This is very like. This is very interesting. But why?" He gives a svara. He says, why does it not look like you're worshipping yourself if you dive into a mirror?
What does it look like you're diving into a mirror?
Why does it not?
Because there's everything else in the mirror.
Because the mirror, the you in the mirror is also bowing.
Sends it back to you.
Right? Right? It's not like behind your Rebbe. Behind your Rebbe, you look like you're bowing to your Rebbe. When you're diving to your mirror, right, to yourself in the mirror, you're both bowing. It doesn't look like worship. Right? Unless your mirror, you know, your doppelganger is bowing to you. Right? Okay.
That's what I thought he was going.
And therefore he said, B'shasat chak, he's more makeyel. Again, B'shasat chak. B'chem b'am v'layla nir etzel ha'adam b'kot n'engel v'alavi k'chashanal v'machazal. He said, therefore, for sure, if it's at night and you happen to see a reflection in a darkened window, it's mutter. He said, L'fiyane his daiti, lo kashad, in a chanami nisal, rom b'mar shadacha v'kilu ha'shnei tzir, m'shachwa zu l'zuch, hey, gavnem yor adil, v'shmid ha'azam v'koru, b'mishach skul, then shodan l'toch kli, shish, b'mayim shalim, l'tzur ha'niris, b'mayim shochet, n'mishach shashad d'arad b'az. But Rav Shammai Gross himself says, nah, I don't think that's right. I think, no, it could look like you are bowing to yourself. Okay. Fine. 16, the Shevet HaLevi was asked about this shiny Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samed. So he says, okay, should I read this inside? Okay, he quotes it. Okay, so Shevet HaLevi notes that even though the majority of poskim think that the issue at hand is this potential of a Dezara concern, the Marsham thought that the real issue is the distraction, and therefore thought even a mirror itself, it might be mutter if you close your eyes. Right, again, the majority of poskim don't agree, but the Shevet HaLevi said, "Look, in a mirror itself, you'd be machmir, but if it's just a shiny piece of metal, right? Shavizi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, so then he thinks it's mutter, and then he gives you another story. He says, you know why? And again, remember I talked about it. The problem with Maris Ayin is always contextual. So give me." Asvara, why might it be less of a problem if you're in bells in front of the big golden Shivitza Hashem L'Negdi Samed?
Because in distraction.
In the shul, in bells, they have a big golden Shivitza. That's probably what he's talking about.
Because it's a distraction.
Why might it not be a problem, even though you can see your reflection that in that polished glass, in the gold?
It's not a like mirror. It's not meant Shimon. To be a reflection. Just for the sake of its
for sure, but give me another Asvara.
Oh, an artist. No one bows to... No, it's...
So he says, it's more, what are the words? He said, who's going to come and say, oh, he went to the words that say, I see God in front of me at all times. And then he went, because it was shiny gold, and said, oh, I'm not bowing to God. Right, literally, the words are meant to make you concentrate on Shavizi Hashem L'Negdi Samed. Right, God is out in front of me, and someone's going to come and say, oh, you see that you can sort of see his reflection in the shiny gold? He's bowing to himself and not God. Said, geniuses, look at context, right? Nobody thinks you're going to the big shiny sign that says you're talking to God and you're looking for the quasi-reflection to bow to yourself, right? Let us be real. Okay. The Piskei Tshuva just notes this is only if the reflection's of your head, or you don't have to be worried if like there's like a reflection of like your arm, mm-hmm. right? Like it doesn't. No one thinks you're bowing to your arm. Okay. That's halacha two. Halacha three, very quickly, is will probably never happen to you, but Mishnah in Chulin says in shochten lo l'toch hayomim lo l'toch naharos lo l'toch kelim. You shouldn't shecht an animal into the river. Or into a kli, into a vessel of a shochel toch agana shomayim v'tzvinish agave kelim, but you can into a uga shomayim. Okay, whatever. Why not? So the Gemara says, my shna l'toch hayamim delo. The Amrli the sar the yamaka shachet. He says because if you shecht into the river, people might think that you're worshiping the river god. So the Gemara says, so then why not into a water pit? People will think you're shechting to your reflection.
Water pit?
A water pit. Just not at the river, just a place where water collects. And it has a reflection of you. So the Gemara says, why aren't you worried that you're bowing to yourself? Sorry, you're not bowing, you're shechting to yourself.
What is shechting? What is shechting?
You bring a karban! Right, you're shechting.
It means pig.
Yeah, I'm aware.
So he said, remember, people used to bring sacrifices. So the Mishnah says you can't shecht into the river because people will think you're bringing the blood to the river god. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, why are you allowed to shecht into just a regular water pit? Right? Why aren't we worried that you're shechting to your image? So Amarava Bachurim Shanu, you're right. You shouldn't unless what's Achurim?
No,
Achurim?
Afterward, no.
It's dirty water. It's right? Meaning there's no reflection. Right? It's either dirty or it's stirred up. Right? You only have a reflection in calm water. Right? This is how we paskin. And 20? That
disgusting.
That aim. So right, but achurim really means it's like messed up, right? Like, so there's no reflection because it's not calm water.
I'm saying it's
so the halacha, so it could be dirty, I mean, like, not like dirty, but like, you know, sediment or something. But that's how we paskin in 20, that you can't shecht into a river because, again, maris ayin of avodah zarah, you are allowed to shecht into a regular water pit, but only if it is achur. Now, the shach just notes, the implication is that into a river you can't shecht even if
It's murky
because the point is there is not about the reflection, it's about looking like you're shechting to the river god. Okay, so those are three halachos that we have that show how concerned we are about Ma'aseh of Avodah Zarah, right? Possibly not davening by your Rebbe, not davening to your reflection in a mirror,
and not
shechting in the river. Very quickly, I put a few more sources, we have a few more minutes. Okay, so the Das Torah combines these a little bit and says, presumably, according to this, you also shouldn't be allowed to shecht. So the Das Torah quotes somebody who says that maybe according to this, you also shouldn't be allowed to shecht in front of a mirror, right? Meaning you combine them, right? You shouldn't shecht in front of a mirror.
Shecht in front of a mirror, right, to begin with.
What?
Would you shecht in front of a mirror?
No, but if you say that you aren't allowed to shecht in a way it looks like you're doing it to yourself, right? Like shechting to the water pit. And you say that we can't daven in front of a mirror because we're worried that you're bowing to yourself. So maybe you can't shecht in front of a mirror because then it looks like you're shechting to your image. The Das Torah himself said, I don't think that's true. And he says, nah. He says, look, many poskim nowadays think you can even shecht into the river because no one thinks you're davening to a, you know, the river god. And he said, like, to combine that and say that someone's going to look at your reflection and say you're shechting to your reflection, he's like, yeah, forget it. Okay. In 23, I gave you the Maritz Chiyos. What?
Self-sacrifice.
Okay, good. So 23. Maritz Chiyos asked, and he said, what the heck is this? Right? He says, there's a midrash that says in the generation of Gidon, they actually did worship their reflection. And he says, what is this? Right? He says, L'chora iza min sichlos izu. What type of stupidity is this? Right? Who worships their reflection in the water? Like, what type of narishkeit is this? So good, tell me, what does it mean? Right? So he gives a very modern answer. He says, yeah, he gives a very modern answer. He says, you know what the whole logic is here? What is it?
That you're worshiping the ideal human.
That's very Greek. Give a modern one. Very Greek would be like, I'm contemplating the perfect human being. Right, give me a modern one.
Can you repeat that?
Give me Shvara. What would it mean that people worship themselves? Like, Mehechatesi, you would bow to yourself.
You're a mirror.
But why would you do that?
To look at yourself?
Why would you bow to yourself? Why would you worship yourself? What's the logic?
Self-righteous.
Why would you even do it? I mean, where is this Havamina coming from? And then the Midrash says that in the time of Gideon, they actually did it. Right? What?
Narcissism.
So he says, what is very modern, he says, because, right, it's, think about the modern world, right? Right? Like, this is like Obama's crusade was against this, right? If you did it, it wasn't you, right? People got very angry at him. Right, for good reason. Right? But what's the... Right, it wasn't you. He said it wasn't you. It was everybody else, right? You didn't get here by yourself. Right? But it's very modern to say what? Right? I did everything. Right? It's like... Right? It's very... Well, what does the Marathiyah suggest? What are people doing when they're backing themselves? They're saying, I'm not reliant on anybody else. If there's anybody in the world I really have to thank for what I have in life, it's me. Right? And that's what it means that people... Right, worshipped themselves. Right, okay, fine, that's a hashkafic thing. Okay, I gave you now just some modern tshuvot. I gave you a nice summary of it by Rav Yosef Shirimon in a tshuva, right, where he was asked, can you daven in front of a window that reflects? Again, he quotes this whole thing. He notes that there's two possibilities. Is it about distraction or is it about avodah zarah? Nafkamina being whether you close your eyes. Okay. But then he says Pashas is it's mutter to daven behind to daven in front of this window because he says right first of all not all this far as apply right it might only be with an actual mirror again right he says based on everything we've said it's only with a real reflection look it's not even clearly paskin like this way and once something is not a real reflection so it's going to be mutter okay I gave you at the end there was a bit of a back and forth which was interesting in Gush a few years ago where there was Rav Moshe Cohen, it was a guy in the Kola when I was in the Kola. He complained that in Gush, on the second floor, on the balcony for women, there is like thick, sort of one-way glass, not really one-way glass, but like dark glass, mm-hmm. You know, like colored glass. And he said, you see your reflection, right, very clearly.
That's high up.
Right, and therefore he says... That and he notes that Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that it's usher, right, that you should be machmir even in front of a reflection of a window. I mean, therefore, he said that maybe the women should move back, right? Move back so that you're not close enough to the reflection, right? Don't sit in the front row, right? That was his suggestion. Right, Baruch Weintraub, who's now a Raman Gush, he was my predecessor in Toronto, we were in yeshiva together also, he says, no, I think it's mutter. He says, why? So he says, first of all, as we saw, the majority of poskim say it's mutter if it's not an actual mirror, right? But then he gives another interesting svara, and he says that what? He said, let's say, right, as we saw, the two potential problems are avodah zarah and distraction. So he said the majority of poskim say that if it's not an actual mirror, so it's not a problem of avodah zarah. So what might the problem be?
Distraction.
And he says, what will realistically happen if you tell women they can't sit in the front row? What's going to happen when it's crowded?
They're going to sit in the front
row. They're going to be even more crowded.
Right.
Right? And what is a bigger distraction to Kavana? Seeing your half reflection in a darkened piece of glass? Or being squashed because we're cutting off a whole row in an already tight women's section?
Well, women, it's
not one-way glass. I'm telling you, it's thick glass. What does he say? He says, if that's the case... Right? He says, if it's about Kavana, so for sure it should be... it's more important to give people more space, right, than to start, right, adding all these chumras. Okay, I gave you also the Piskei, the Yalkut Yosef who paskins this way. that it's mutter, right?
For this case, so
and the Yalkut Yosef says in general we're only machmer on actual mirrors and we're makel on windows and the like. The Shvi'is Yashem LeNegdi, the Negdi Summit. Yeah. Let's see what else they write. Yeah, and so basically, I think this is basically the accepted psak that there is room to make. But again, I gave this to you to show you how seriously we take these Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah concerns, right? Where it has these manifestations in Hilchos Tfila, Hilchos Shechita, and the like. And again, the reason is because Avodah Zarah is so bad. And again, that's what we've already proven. And especially Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah is worse than a regular Maris Ayin, and therefore we have all these potential issues that are related to it. And I thought it was just worth spending a day looking at some of the Lamaisa ramifications. Okay?
Is there a pot?